What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, July 9th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside at Tim Geddes.
You're back?
I'm back. Thanks,
everybody.
I'm
excited for this. It was a hard week last week.
You had a lot to do probably without me here.
I did, yeah. Me and Jared had a great time, though.
Yeah, did you?
Me and Gary had an amazing time.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I like how Gary would, I don't follow the World Cup. I don't have any idea what's happening over there.
He tried explaining it to me.
I'm a true American. He, though, announced publicly, I guess, after it's coming home / hashtag winning whatever. I don't know the fuck it is. England won whatever they needed to win to then they're playing this week. Gary Whittle will not be in on Widow Wednesday because it is now World Cup Wednesday for him or some shit like that.
World Cup Wednesday, dude. I get it.
How was it without me? What were the big stories? I was disconnected, didn't even look.
Big stories.
What stands out? I know the ArenaNet stuff. I saw you guys talk about the ArenaNet
stuff. Yeah, yeah. Rocket League 2 is not a thing.
Okay.
It will never be a thing. Yeah, you're caught up.
Okay, good. That was it.
Yeah. I don't really remember what happened.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. I'm rusty. I'm dusting off a lot of tools here I haven't done. That's where you send your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. 1 week from today is Amazon Prime Day. It's Monday, July 16th. And because you know we love Amazon Prime, because if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, and you should give us that free Amazon Prime sub. On top of that, there's a million great video game deals. We're partnering with Amazon Prime for Prime Day. Isn't that right, Tim?
That is damn right, Greg. Some of these deals are out of this world.
Hey! Whoa, that was okay. If you're an audio listener, he said out of this world. When he said out of this world, I thought you were going to do swing for the fences. Nope. Like you knocked out of the park. And I was like, wait, that. And then you did your mind being blown.
Yeah.
I guess there is no great. That'd be like out of this world, right?
It's
like,
right.
Anyways, no Kind of Funny Morning Show. No Kind of Funny Games Daily on Monday, July 16th, because from noon to 4 p.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/AmazonGames and hosted here on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, we're going to be playing through those deals of the day and showing you
hanging
cool things.
Hanging out, playing video games, building computers maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I actually don't know what they're sending us.
So the deal is that, yeah, we're working with Amazon for Amazon Prime Day. They're just sending us a whole bunch of stuff that's on sale. So as it's on sale, you can watch
us
play.
We'll tell you guys, like, go now, and it'll be cool. And it's like flash sales and stuff. Games.
Will there be beer, Cool Greg?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there
probably
will be.
Probably not.
Really? Hey, Cool Greg, will there be shots off screen?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what
I
need.
Okay.
Also, today's sponsors are Brooklyn and Marvel Puzzle Quest, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. It's nice to come back. You know what I mean? I got a lot of energy. It's all there. You know? Six items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Biggest story of the day. Monster Hunter World has a PC release date. You can play it on Steam August 9th, 2018.
Bring on the mods. Once things get to PC, you know what? That's what's going to happen. People are going to mod it. They're going to put Iron Man in it.
Yep, it's always Iron Man. Jennifer Lawrence monsters, yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence monsters.
Nah, that's if you know how to mod things, make a mod in, I don't know. I watched X-Men last night, and so she's on the brain now. You know
got
what
it.
I mean?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I was like, is there some weird thing connecting Jennifer Lawrence and Monster Hunter?
No. There could be now. We can make it happen. You know what I mean? We could be those people, guys. Are you a PC modder? Are you going to play Monster Hunter World on PC? This is your shot. Make it happen.
Shoot your shot.
Tim, too little too late for Monster Hunter World on PC?
No.
Yeah?
PC... For these type of games, whole different set of rules. It can come out whenever. It's still going to be a hit. And yeah, once it gets in the mod community, done deal.
Obviously, we hear Kind of Funny, big Monster Hunter World fans. Obviously, Kevin and I played a ton of it. I have 130 hours. Kevin was right, of course. I haven't gone back to play it since the rest of the game started coming out. But I will one day. The screenshots look beautiful. I'm glad people are finally going to get the chance to play it because I know... When it was on just PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, when we were playing it on console, so many people were like, I'm just waiting for the PC version. And I know the silence was kind of deafening. I was surprised it took this long to get Capcom to say anything, really.
Yeah. It always is that way, though. Like, when for all of the guys that normally just make console games, their PC versions, there's always some weird shit. Mm-hmm. It's always coming out later. There's always some, like, asterisk.
But it's weird that's still happening in 2018. if that makes sense. Not that games are easier. I just feel like we would have this. I remember like the PS3 era at IGN writing articles and stuff like this and people waiting for these games that would eventually come to PC and be borked anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, that should have been your first sign to get out of the PC gaming. It's dying. It's not going to happen.
It's dying.
You know what I mean? But that's what I've heard. Yeah. Cool, Greg, did you hear that?
Yeah, a couple times.
Thanks, buddy. And he's in the streets. Cool Greg is hip to the streets. He knows what's happening.
And I'm, he's listening to the streets, and the streets are whispering. They're like, talking PC about gaming. Yo, man. It's done.
Monster Hunter World, one of my games of the year so far. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to everybody getting out there and having their shot with that. Number two, let's go the opposite direction. Warframe is coming to Switch. They put out a press release over the weekend saying at TennoCon, its third annual Warframe convention, Canadian developer and publisher Digital Extremes unveiled today Warframe, its hit cooperative online action game, is in development for Nintendo Switch. Digital Extremes has partnered with the developer Panic Button, parentheses Doom, Wolfenstein the New Colossus, Rocket League, to bring the title to the Nintendo Switch. Huh! There you go. I didn't see that one coming.
Me neither.
But I'm not paying attention. Warframe continues to be the biggest game only a small group of people are playing and really into. The fact that Warframe does have a really dedicated community.
What is Warframe?
It is a hit cooperative online action game. It's this the one that came to PlayStation 4 that, like, not at launch. Was it at launch that long ago? Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Correct us on when it came.
I mean, I remember it must have been after that because it was while we were at Kind of Funny that we were talking about the game.
The thing about it is we talk about Warframe a lot on this show and other shows because it continues to stay relevant. It is very much, I think, when we get caught up in Fortnite and Rocket League and PUBG and WoW, games of service, right? Mm-hmm. They continue to go on and on and on. Warframe is that in spades. Mm. Now, coming to Switch is interesting just because, again, I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't paid much mind to it. I'm sure the community's been hungry for that, dying for it. Interesting, of course, that there is no cross-platform play already. That's in Warframe right now because we're talking about this. Yeah. Obviously, this immediately raised everybody's, what about fucking PlayStation? If I have it on PlayStation, can I play somewhere else? That cross progression and cross platform play doesn't exist already. However, and I didn't have a chance to confirm it beforehand, one of the emails written into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with questions, comments, and concerns mentioned the fact that they talked to a developer who said, yeah, while this isn't like cross platform play would not be possible on PlayStation 4. And he didn't say why, but you would assume because of PlayStation's rules. They did say that it's something to be looked into on Xbox, PC, and Switch now. So
interesting.
We'll see. But that was also scuttlebutt from the KFGD that I didn't get a chance to confirm. But more important for right now, it's coming to Switch. What that means for this inevitable, this world that continues to expand of play your games wherever the hell you want with whatever you want remains to be seen.
Hmm.
Now, let's go over Asia. Number three, Titanfall Online has worldwide been canceled. This is from Rebecca Valentine over at gamesindustry.biz. After over 3 years of development, and by the way, as I've said before, Rebecca does great work over at gamesindustry.biz. This is one of those rare times I'm going to read all four of her paragraphs that are her article. Go over there and click on the link. Give them a view. Gamesindustry.biz. After over 3 years of development, Nexon has revealed that its Asia-focused project with Respawn and EA, Titanfall Online, has been canceled. According to Game Focus and translated via Kotaku, the project was not receiving positive feedback from player testing, and changes in the online market prompted development resources to be allocated elsewhere. Quote, it is true that Nexon and EA have agreed to cancel Titanfall Online under a business decision, said a Nexon representative. After much deliberation, it was decided that reallocating development resources to another project was better for the company. Titanfall Online was announced in 2015 as an online, free-to-play PC redesign of the original Titanfall. The game was planned for various countries in Asia, including Korea, Japan, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and others, with a limited-time player test running in South Korea in December 2016. At the time, the project was intended to follow the success of similar collaborations between EA and Nexon, such as FIFA Online 3.
It's so crazy to me that there's just a side of video games that I just do not know.
And that's Asia?
It's like all these like free-to-play online games thriving and are this huge thing, like FIFA Online 3.
Sure.
I believe it's
Well, I mean, you go to it, when you actually delve into what's popular over in Asia, in Korea, and stuff
Nexon
like that.
I mean, Nexon in general, right? It's them and it's Tencent and all this stuff, like huge. And here it's kind of like we just don't talk about them, or we talk about them on this show. Otherwise, you don't really, it's not like Ubisoft. You know?
Sure, of course. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting as we see and talk about the changing landscape of video games, right? The fact that you can have a game that was announced in 2015. So worked on probably well before then, at least in pre-pro, put in this many years of work on this thing. You already ran in 2016, right? A test in South Korea. You would think that they're going to put that game out no matter what. And to get to the point of just being like, you know what? This is not coming together. We got to pull the plug on this game. So many people have worked on. It's crazy.
It is.
But again, more power to them. I'd rather see that.
Yeah, EA, Respawn, it's very interesting stuff now between them having to deal with all the loot crate shenanigans and dealing just with Respawn's issues with, you know, the Star Wars stuff. And I don't know, man. And all with Titanfall 2 being put out the worst time possible.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see kind of where they go. I believe that there's talent there. I believe that there's...
In Respawn?
In Respawn. Oh, yeah. And it's like, but I think
there's talent in the games you've seen from Respawn.
Yes.
It's just bad choices here or there, whether it be marketing, whether it be release schedules, whether it be the product scope of the game. Because as usual, I'm going to stand by it. Titanfall 2 should have still just been multiplayer. It should have just been, no, this is the vision. We're going to make you care. It should have been what the division is. Here's all the things we've learned from the first game to the second game, and that's why we're making it. Hey, you said single player. We put single player in there. Nobody bought this game. What the fuck?
Yeah. I think there's going to be another really good game from Respawn.
It'll be that Star Wars one.
I hope it is.
Yeah. You don't believe it, though?
No.
Why not?
I don't think it'll be that one.
You think Luke, Disney's getting in the way of it?
I think it's EA getting in the way of it. Really? I don't think it's Disney.
Okay.
And if anything, I think Disney isn't going to help the situation, especially where Star Wars is at right now with everything. But I feel that game exists right now.
Yeah.
But based on like how they talked about it at E3, everything they said, I'm like, this sounds really interesting. The story, I'm like, that's exactly what I want from a Star Wars game. I just don't believe that it's going to be good.
Interesting. Yeah. Huh.
And I say this because of Battlefront 2, being so excited for that campaign.
Yeah, you bit hard on that one.
And being so let down.
Yeah, yeah.
It sucks because like it sounded awesome.
Yeah.
And it wasn't at all.
You're just learning. You've been burned.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Nick with The Last Jedi, right? Now he says he'll never be excited for another Star Wars movie. He's learned.
He hasn't learned. He can
come join us in the DCEU where we're just excited all the time. Give us whatever you got. I'm sure this will be the one that turns the corner. Hey, man, Jason Momoa is cool. Number four, not really a news story, but nowhere else to put it, I think. Nathan Drake never gets shot in Uncharted. Did you see this over the weekend?
I did.
Jonathan Cooper, an animator at Naughty Dog, put up a tweet. They put out a GIF. He responded to it, and then he said, Side note I learned on joining the team. Drake doesn't ever take bullet damage. The red UI that shows hits is to represent his luck running out. Enemies eventually will get a clear shot and kill him if he takes enough near misses. Huh.
Very interesting, but don't make it red then.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Whatever. Stupid shit. It's lore building. It's just like, sure. Hey, we have a vision for this game, and here's what we're doing. I love this shit.
Yeah, it's totally a design Bible kind of thing, right? Yeah. But it's interesting that in all my years covering Uncharted, that hasn't come up more, or if ever.
Especially because the flip side of it, of him killing so many people, is constantly talked about.
Yeah.
That you'd think at some point they'd be like, they'd bring up him getting shot.
Yeah, I followed Jonathan, saw him tweet this over the weekend, thought that was really interesting. And then I saw it pop up again on Reset Era today. I was like, oh yeah, I want to include that. And I'm like, what is Reset Era saying about it, though? I clicked on it. And so like comment number two was like, in Uncharted 1, he gets shot in a cutscene and goes, damn, no big deal. And like runs. I was like, did that? I think that does happen. I haven't played Uncharted 1 in a duck's age, but yeah, that makes sense.
That's really
it's funny. A cute little
How
interesting
long do ducks
idea.
Live?
I heard 40 to 50 years.
Yeah?
No, not yet. I'll tell you what, we walked around Golden Gate Park yesterday, went up to the old, that pond where you can get in either the rowboats or you can
Stow
get
Lake.
Stow Lake. Thanks. Cool, Greg knows. Thanks for, again, keeping your eye on the street, knowing what's happening out there. That's where we're talking about PC gaming, right? It's Stow Lake. Fucking so many goddamn turtles in that lake.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, and then there was a bunch of ducks killing it.
Two of Love and Sex Stuff was shot there, where we talk about anal sex.
You used to do what to the turtles?
I used to feed them with my dad.
Nice, huh? Yeah. And you talked about anal sex there at Love and Sex.
Uh-huh.
All right. Nice. Did you get in one of those little, not a paddle, but is it a paddle?
We were going to, but then we decided it's not worth the time.
Sure. Yeah. What a surprise. The kind of funny way.
Yeah.
Number five. Super Nintendo World is going to have some synergy with gaming. This is via Liz Lanner over at Variety, who I had reported on this Miyamoto investor call that was happening over in Japan. The quote, though, that we're going to pull is from Miyamoto, and it goes, a lot of people who are mothers and fathers today are from a generation that grew up playing Super Mario, and they are now playing products like Nintendo Labo together with their own children. There are a lot of families like this, not just in Japan, but also around the world. When such families visit these theme parks to experience Nintendo's worlds that have been carefully crafted and to interact with our characters, I think we can expect to see synergy with our dedicated video game platform business. End quote. I just like it because...
Why do you like it, Greg? Tell me.
Some days, like on the Roper Report, I'll put something on there and be like, well, this is only going to be there if I can't find anything else to talk about, right?
Yeah.
And so like in the early goings of the day when it was like Monster Hunter World's release date, Warframe, I'm like, oh, this is going pretty quick. We'll put that in there and stuff. And then I kind of forgot about it because other news came out and added all that in there. I'm like, interesting, interesting. To come back to this, like... It's all right, cool. So we know
people like video games.
We know nothing about Super Nintendo World, right? It's an amusement park that's coming eventually. Everybody hopes it's going to be awesome. We hope they sell like Donkey Kong's tails we can eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like corn dogs.
We did a whole Gamescast episode where you went
exactly
way too far,
way too deep. But then to get here and just have Miyamoto, one of the most, you know, fucking revered, talented video game developers of all time, get boiled down to, I think we can expect to see synergy with our dedicated video game platform business. As if Super Nintendo World was going to be so bombastically different than what you're seeing on the Nintendo. It's going to be fucking gritty, a hardcore first-person shooter.
It's hard to imagine how the two could coexist.
But I appreciate the idea that maybe... this is what we always do. We run too far with any of these ideas. Yep. But it'd be cool if you brought your Switch. There's some kind of AR thing going on.
Yeah. I mean, Disneyland recently... over the last couple of years, decades even, they've been kind of... getting into this point where there's like the magic band that you have that, like, instead of having to get all the fast passes, you can just kind of use mobile apps to do it. And the Disneyland app itself, like, you can see the
they just updated it, right?
Where it's like gamified. It's gamified. There's like an RPG element to it. And like you go and there's like trivia you need to answer depending on where you're at in the park. And it's like, that stuff's cool. And if Nintendo can make it work with the Switch, that'd be super rad. But
There's nothing I love more than a little bit of PR sprinkled into somebody who's like a normal human being. But I think we can expect
Japanese
to see synergy
with
our
translated, so it's more awkward. It's just like, good lord.
it's an old TRL, three red lights on IGN, where they lost their mind when it was somebody was leaving. They were leaving Xbox to pursue their lifelong dream of consumer brand marketing or something. It's like, who the fuck? What? All right, whatever. Number six, final Roper Report for my return. Congrats to Blizzard on their Overwatch charity results. They put up the following over on the Overwatch blog. Thanks to the overwhelming generosity of the Overwatch community, during the Pink Mercy charity campaign, we raised more than $12.7 million to support the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. This is the largest donation by a corporate partner within 1 year in the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, BCRF, from here on out, 25-year history. And it's all because of you. In addition to picking up the charity skin, players showed their support for the cause by purchasing thousands of limited edition Pink Mercy t-shirts available for men and women designed by community artists. And here's... It's all caps here. So it's either Vicky Sai, it could be Vicky's Eye, could be... Nah, it's probably just Vicky Sai.
Definitely Vicky Sai.
It's all caps, so it could be anything. You don't know. I'm not going to get... You know, I read the Twitch names. I never understand. Charity stream viewers rejoice. In addition to the $12.7 million raised through the sales of skin and t-shirts, you separately raised over $130,000 in donations watching 14 different Overwatch stars stream on Twitch. Good job, Overwatch.
All right. Let's break this down a little bit. First off, good job. Congrats. That is absolutely fantastic. Second off, let's look at these numbers.
Lay it on me.
$12.7 million?
Yeah.
What's the time frame of this? Like, how long did the Pink Mercy charity campaign last?
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Even if it was a year.
I want to say it was a month.
Let's say it's a year, even. A whole year, Greg. $12.7 million.
Where's the iPad? It's clutch to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
$12.7 million.
Yeah.
From this Pink Mercy skin situation. That means that just Overwatch, normally, just for skins that they sell, these numbers just come in. All right. I'm
gonna charge it right now. Just bring me my computer. Just something where we can have it up.
The scale of this is insane. Like, this just shows, I mean, we know how popular Overwatch is.
Here's the thing is, like, so you read through this, right? In addition to picking up the charity skin, players show their support by purchasing the t-shirt. Thousands of the t-shirts. So it's t-shirt two. So I think you can buy the skin for whatever it was and the t-shirt as well. Not that I'm taking away from how great this is.
I mean, $12.7 million.
You sell a t-shirt for $100,000 though.
That's But then to make $12.7 million, like, that's fucking crazy. And then raising over 130K on Twitch with 14. I'm like, that number makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a number that I'm like, yeah.
And that's a
yeah,
and that's
charity
a,
drives.
And with all due respect, there. A reasonable amount, I would yeah. say, for a Twitch thing, right?
So whatever. This is fucking awesome. Good for them. And like, giving $12.7 million away, no matter how it was earned, that must be really hard.
No matter how it was earned.
But right. fuck yeah, good for them.
All right, so let's do this. We're going to go here. We're going to throw up this Pink thing. We're Mercy. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm sure someone, he never cleared this out while I was gone. Come on, Tim. You're better than
I don't
this.
I'm messing around with your
you're
shit.
You're better
I don't
than
know.
This. Oh, man, we've been wrong a lot already. Jeez, all right, hold on. Jesus Christ. Don't you love it when you find the information you want and then the screen autocorrects to some way up the top? Is this what you wanted? No, motherfucker. I clicked on what I wanted. Yeah. Piece of shit. You're wrong.
Come on.
Google Drive.
Google Drive.
Here we go. Kebab says the Pink Mercy skin was sold between May 8th and May 21st. Not even a full month. Why do you keep going down here?
Man, that's insane.
I don't like this. I don't like what this thing's doing at all. I can't believe you didn't clear
this out. 3 weeks.
It's ridiculous.
3 fucking weeks, Greg.
Similar to what we do every day on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I'm kidding. Come support us. Tim!
Yes.
I can't wait to see what Blizzard does next for charity and how much they raise, but that charity drive is so far away. If I wanted to know what new games were out today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Another World on Switch, Paddle Box on Switch, Hotel Transylvania 3, Monsters Overboard on Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Now, there's some breaking news as well that this Hotel Transylvania 3, Monsters Overboard just sprung to life in my head that I don't know if you've covered on this show, but I don't know. So I'm putting it out there. Cool, Greg. What happened to your Switch? I saw you tweet that your Switch broke. Have we covered this already? Did I miss
this? We have not covered
this. What happened?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but I heard somebody in the office dropped a Switch.
Mm.
But when I left with my Switch, the left Joy-Con was coming out just like by touching it. It would just come out. And then even when it was in, it wouldn't go left. It would only go right.
Have you talked to Kevin about this?
He says just get some new Joy-Cons and make the guy who he saw drop it pay for it. But that's not, you know, I ain't going to do that.
Got it.
Is the guy next to Carpino?
No.
Andy Cortez. Joey Noel.
Greg's like, I don't want to answer because then people will know.
Who was it? You? I've gone through the list.
I didn't see anything, so I can't say. I don't know.
I'll have you know, I have a bevy of Joy-Cons. I'll bring in some Joy-Cons if you want them.
I think I might need one, just a left one.
No, well, see, the left ones are all fucked up to begin with, right? Isn't that the way they had a whole recall thing on that?
Yeah, we'll have to look into this.
Okay.
We'll have to look
Mine
into this.
I definitely hit the floor. Like, I can see there's a little bit.
I will have to talk to Jared Petty.
Jared Petty! Why can't I right click? Fuck this thing. This thing's being a piece of shit today. God damn everything. You know what I mean?
I know.
You
what
ever
you
get
mean,
there?
Greg.
New dates for you. Chasm finally confirmed for July 31st on PlayStation 4
awesome.
And the PlayStation Vita cross by and Steam. Sorry, I left that off. Not cross by there, obviously. And then Darksiders 3 has its own release date as well. November 27th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. There is a brand new trailer if you want to go check that out.
Mm-hmm. And you do. You definitely do. Last week, Greg, there was a lot of games coming out that were just bullshit, like with bullshit-ass titles.
Yeah.
And one of them, I forget what it is, but it was literally called like Disease Hidden Object.
Hidden and Object games, like, good for trophies.
Good lord. And so Jared downloaded it and we reviewed it on Gamescast that is now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Was it good?
No, of course not.
Mm-mm.
No, not
was
good.
It terrible? Oh yeah. I can't believe how bad that game is.
So you got to like play it and see it too?
Jared showed me as he was playing and it was like, oh no.
Oh it like, no.
It's like even less interactive than Where's Waldo and I don't know how that's possible.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Reader Mail. But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by our sponsors, Brooklinen and Marvel Puzzle Quest. Tim?
Yes.
You sleep in Brooklinen sheets
every
just
night.
Like me.
Every night.
How do you like them?
Big fan.
Me too. I'm a huge fan of it. You spend a third of your sheets, or no, a life in the sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets ever. But that's Brooklinen.com for the best, most comfortable sheets without a big markup. There are no unnecessary markups or fees. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews. as I've talked about it, you go to brooklinen.com, you click on the thing, what do you want, what size your bed, great, you got it. Then you start clicking and mixing and matching all the colors and the profiles. Make the comforter match the sheets match the comforter.
Many different blues.
Many different blues, that is true. Every time you see a Portillo photo on Instagram.com/GameOverGreggy in the bed, that's Brooklinen sheets.
Oh, man.
Because we like them so much, you don't put on other sets of sheets, you wash these sheets, you put them right back on.
Mm-hmm.
You, ladies and gentlemen, can get these amazing sheets very simply. You can go. Wait, I sound like a vampire there. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer for you, the listener. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Then, guess who's back? Marvel Puzzle Quest.
It's true.
You remember when these guys debuted here as a sponsor and I said this, the same thing I'm going to say now. I thought Puzzle Quest was dead. Mm-mm. I loved Puzzle Quest so much from D3 back in the day on my PlayStation Vita. Back on the... Or no, PSP. Sorry, I'm old.
Yeah.
Playing it everywhere. I thought it was gone away for good until these guys showed up with Marvel Puzzle Quest. And guess what? It is still the match 3 gameplay and storylines and all that stuff you know from Puzzle Quest. If you haven't played Puzzle Quest because you weren't alive when people were playing PSP, I understand. It's time to play this one. It's got Marvel characters. Ant-Man and the Wasp has you fired up for a Marvel game, right? Then make that Marvel game, Marvel Puzzle Quest, from the folks at D3 Go. Marvel Puzzle Quest is Marvel's only match 3 puzzle RPG mobile game experience, and you can download it for free today. In Marvel Puzzle Quest, you can create a custom team from the Marvel Universe that features such characters as Iron Man, Black Panther, Deadpool, Rogue, Gambit, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and more. There are more than 150 superheroes and villains packed into this game. Once your team is set, join your friends or other Marvel enthusiasts and be part of a mighty alliance and compete against others on the leaderboards in weekly tournaments to reward both you and your alliance. Right now, Marvel Puzzle Quest has a ton of in-game content for Ant-Man and the Wasp, as they're both featured in the Growth Industry event going on right now, and they have Ghost coming to the game really soon, along with a number of new supports like Quantum Realm or Wasp Gauntlets to equip your new characters. We have a special offer for new players. Download Marvel Puzzle Quest using the link at our description, in our description, or head over to d3go.com/kindoffunnygames and get yourself 3 free tokens from the Partners in Crime Vault to possibly earn Ant-Man, Wasp, or other great awards to add to your collection. Where do I want to start with you, Tim Kenney's? Yeah, here's where we're going. We'll start right at the top.
Good.
Weissmark wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "What's up, Kinda Funny crew? First off, welcome back, Greg, and screw you for convincing me to get Luminous on my Switch. I'm now addicted and taking extra long lunch breaks at work. My question is, whether as reviewers and players, if you guys trust other people's reviews of games. Recently, I found myself disagreeing not only with the gaming media's reviews, but even my friends'. Luminous is an outlier. For example, Jurassic World Evolution got terrible reviews, and yet this weekend I pulled my first all-nighter in years playing that game. Another example would be Far Cry 5, which I thought the gameplay was repetitive and boring and killed the thrilling story. I'm just wondering if I'm really all that picky or just absolutely crazy. Thanks for keeping me entertained in the car, home, or work. Weissmark."
We talk about this very often, about how we're in a world now where it's not just the outlets you trust, but it's the people you trust. Sure. And you can find the voices that resonate with your taste,
yeah,
or find voices that you know you disagree with. And so you're able to read or watch the reviews and understand, all right, maybe I'm going to feel different than they do. There's a lot of specific reviewers. I feel like Lucy O'Brien at IGN
is
somebody that I really trust when it comes to reviews, and I don't always agree with her, but whatever she's critiquing, I usually understand where she's coming from, and I feel like she plays games similar to the way I do. But yeah, there's a lot of other things where it's like, there's the overall look at stuff when you're just looking at the numbers of reviews and stuff. It's like, yeah, you get a general sense of where the game is, but it's so hard to kind of have a overall consensus for where a game's at when you're looking in that 7.5 to 9.5 range,
yeah,
where it's like, what is the real difference? And it's all subjective because they're reviews.
I mean, I think it just comes down to, yeah, what you're saying. It's more personality than outlets. That's how I do it. There's plenty of times when I'll click over to an IGN review, and I use IGN because obviously we know people there, and I'll see someone who reviews the game, and I know I do not share their taste in games. Mm-hmm. So immediately I'm like, well, that's what they say, but I already know I didn't agree with him or her. You know what I mean? So why would I credit this? Whereas... a tweet from somebody I follow that I really enjoy and like I know thinks the same way I do about games goes further. And it's also the same thing of, you know, I thought Octopath Traveler was a good example on Gamescast the other day where Jared was talking about playing the demo again, or I was talking about how I'm gonna, you know, looking forward to getting into it. And Jared's like, oh yeah. And I'm like, well, here's my question. As somebody who doesn't traditionally play turn-based Japanese, you know, it doesn't have a soft spot for JRPGs of, you know, the SNES era, does this game do enough differently to make me that I'm gonna care about it more than I would have back then? And Jared was like, yes. And so like that carried a lot of weight for me going into this weekend of okay, cool, like I'm glad people are excited for it. And then when I sat down with it, with the final copy, the review copy, to sit down and actually get into it on the flight to play it, I was like, oh wow, okay, like I'm glad I listened to Jared. Like I know Jared telling me I'll like something goes further. And it works the other way, where you'll play games and talk about it, I'm like, oh cool, would I like it? And you're like, no. Like you can love a game and tell me that I'm not gonna.
It's like, this is not for you,
it's not my genre.
Sonic Mania, not for you.
Yeah. And so I think that's really what it comes down to. So your friends, I think that's where it comes down to. Of course, I think if there's one thing I've learned recently with MCU interview and XCU interview is like, man, I can't believe the times we sit down and I'm like, this movie was great or terrible, and we don't all agree on
exactly
that. It's like, wow, that's insane. But it's like everybody looks for something different in art, and that's what this all is. So there's no going to be a yes no for, and like that's what it is universally.
Totally.
Tim?
Yes.
Whisper has a question for you about Halo. Hey, KFGD host. My question is about Halo Infinite. Do you think the new game will drop its level-by-level campaign design to opt for a more open-world games-as-a-service type game? With the dropping of the numbered entries in the titles and the confirmation that Halo Infinite is essentially Halo 6, now seems like as good a time as any to do so. I know this is a big step, but is it a necessary one? Thanks. Whisper.
My biggest hope for Halo Infinite is they take a Battlefield 1 approach with war stories,
okay,
and have the campaign not be a like level by level story,
yeah,
but kind of have mini stories that can take place throughout the infinite timeline of the Halo universe. Because I feel like at this point, Halo has evolved and changed so much from what it originally was, and I feel like the user base has been split, not just between Bungie and 343 fans, but also just between like people wanting to just play as the Chief versus people that want to play as the Arbiter and the other people from Five Blue Team, I think they were called, or like Locke, whatever. And I feel like if you did the war stories type situation where it's like you play a little bit here, a little bit there, like that could be really, really fun. And even if they kind of had different perspectives of key moments from Halo 1 or Halo 2 or 3 and like see how different things could go, or play through missions that we never, I feel like Reach is a perfect example of something that we heard lore about in the different games and then actually getting to play through it was really cool. There's so many of those moments in Halo mythology that would be awesome to get to actually play through.
Yeah. I feel like they really do need to use this one to kind of reboot it, though, right? And so that's the thing of just stepping away. I would rather just seem to do something totally different in that world. And granted, I know that, like, hey, we're going into a battle you've heard about but never seen is totally different. But I mean, even then, I'm just like, fuck it. Here's the new main protagonist. Here's the new main threat that's happening. Here's what's happening. See, no. Just,
Halo
needs that's to be not chief.
How, it needs to be Chief. It's just one of those things where you can make a bunch of different shit, but it's going to be different then. It's not going to be Halo. Halo, the story, it's Chief, it's Cortana, it's this, like, them and their adventures.
Whatever happened to Cortana? She dead or not? Wasn't that the whole thing? She was, like, fucking dying.
Yeah, we're going through the whole, like, the story of 5 didn't really get us where we need to be.
Okay.
So, there's still a lot of questions up in the air.
Okay. Evan writes in and says, hello, Greg and co-host. With Fortnite fever infecting the office, have you been paying attention to the Fortnite Season 5 ARG? As someone who doesn't even play the game, I eat this shit up and enjoy the hell out of it. Are you enjoying what Epic is doing right now, or could you give two shits? I'm also curious what your favorite marketing build-up to a game was. Thanks for everything you guys do, Evan. You paying attention to this?
No.
Do you know about it?
No.
So, while I was gone, so it feels like a giant weekend, but I'm pretty sure it was the... No, that doesn't make sense. Maybe it was the weekend I left? I forget. But I think when I was gone, they had those countdowns in the game, and when it hit there, they launched a rocket.
Okay,
that cracked the dome of the ceiling.
Yes.
And this is the crack's been getting bigger, and now like weird shit's happening where it like cracked reality. So things in the world were disappearing and then reappearing in other places. Like the rocket itself, right? Smashed into it and then came out of a crack this way and then came out of a crack. Like it shot all around the map without ever leaving. And so then what happened now is like people were freaking out that the burger mascot or whatever, the burger from the top of Greasy Groves, it had disappeared in game. And then it popped up in our real world in a California desert. They put it out, and they just put it out there. And a photographer ran into it, who oddly enough I follow because he's a photographer that takes like really nice photos of like not our famous friends, but like I forget if it was Anna or somebody else who tweeted. And I was like, man, this guy's. I clicked on it. Oh, this photography's awesome. Started following it. So I think I saw it without understanding at first what was going on. The burger popped up out there, and then he put it out there, and then that went viral, and so then people are going there, and now there's like an agent there handing out cards that have a phone number on it. If you call the number, it makes a sound. If you transcode the sound, it does. Yeah, it's one of those goofy fucking things. One of the loot llamas just popped up in the UK, I think in London, in a phone booth today or whatever. It's out there or whatever.
Like fucking Fortnite, man. Let's get weird.
Hey, we have an unlimited pool of fucking money. Let's do whatever Right?
No, I love that, man.
And so, I thought it was cool. I didn't think it was Roper Report cool, right? That like this is happening, but it was neat that this shit's going on.
Yeah, me and Andy talked a bit about it. I want to say on Games Daily last week when we had him on a little bit for the Fortnite stuff. So we did talk about that. I didn't realize the ARG shit. I didn't know that it was like actually coming to real life now. That's
right?
Cool.
Yeah. And so, we have what I think it's 2 more days, 3 days until the season 5 begins. Kind of funny.com / you're wrong. I know they finally confirmed it by saying 3 days. I think it was yesterday they put up a thing of 3 days that had like this animal mask with like the crack going over the eye and shit. I think it's cool. I like looking into it. I'm not going to drive down in California and do anything with it or anything like that. But I am interested to see what they do next. I'm more interested to see what next season of Fortnite does. Like, we are all obsessed with it. So, being able to play more and see what the new stuff is.
He says, I'm curious what your favorite marketing buildup to a game was. The similar things, but the I Love Bees campaign with Halo 2 was just insane. Yeah. It was like the first video game ARG type shit going on. And God, I was so into that and so invested when like the numbers were finally figured out and there was phone calls being made to like random phone booths that people had to get at and the internet was working together. And then it ended with being able to play Halo 2 before it came out at Metreon in a theater. Oh. And it was so...
Did you make it?
Oh yeah. And it was fucking awesome. Me and Alfredo went and it was just like... That's one of my favorite video game experiences ever.
See, I thought you were going to say when the Mass Effect is in a balloon or whatever.
Oh, and then the Mass Effect Space Hunt for Mass Effect 3. You can go to youtube.com, search for Mass Effect Space IGN.
Everybody almost dying.
And me and Alfredo almost died, but it's a whole thing. But in terms of marketing buildup to a game, I talk about this all the time, and I will continue to for the rest of my life because it is fucking awesome, is the Smash Bros. Dojo leading into Brawl, where Japan time, man, every Monday through Friday at midnight Pacific time, there'd be an update on the page, and it might be a new item, it might be a brand new character, it might be a returning stage. It's like every day was something different, and like
that's cool.
The hype around that and like the insanity now in Reset Era when a direct is the next day and everyone's like, what's gonna happen, like the 15 page threads out of nowhere,
right?
Like that happened every night on GameFAQs or Neo Gaff or wherever the fuck we were at the time, of just like what's it gonna be, and like the night that Sonic the fucking Hedgehog was announced, like everything changed.
That was it, man. So good. Your innocence was gone.
Yeah.
My dog Nick 96 from Massachusetts writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello Greg and Tim. I saw a video from Game Explain yesterday saying that the Mario and Luigi series developer Alpha Dream is looking for people to work on Switch, smartphone, and PlayStation 4 projects. I wanted to ask the one and only Tim Geddes, will Alpha Dream make a new Mario and Luigi game for Switch, or will they create a new IP?
I feel out of all the Nintendo franchises, when they're coming to Switch, that the Paper Mario series and the Mario and Luigi series are the two that I'm like, I have no idea what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I feel like both of them have kind of been ran to the ground. And in terms of Mario and Luigi, like the quality's still there, but I just feel like people are kind of just over it because there's just been way too many of them.
Yeah.
And then the Paper Mario side, it's just like they've changed what that game is too much.
Yeah.
And I actually feel like the best bet, and this is the old man in me that's like, oh, I just want things how they used to be. But if they just came out with a Paper Mario game that was a traditional RPG in the style of Paper Mario 64 and Thousand Year Door, like that would be the right route for them to go. And the Mario and Luigi games, I don't know. I don't know that we need, like, we can take a break for a bit on that.
Yeah. Okay.
In a crazy world would be Super Mario RPG 2. But I actually feel that's too niche to actually be a wise decision from them.
Mm. But at this point, you have all these, you have this install base. Mm-hmm. You have Mario. People love Mario. You got RPG. That'd be all right.
Yeah.
So you could change the game. Gino. Change the game. Next question is from Tyler from Florida. Tyler writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hello, Greg. Welcome back. Hope you had fun, but now I need your help. These next couple of months, I feel, have a dry spell of games that I would be looking forward to. But there are two that I saw coming up soon that I would like your opinion on, if you have them. No Man's Sky coming to Xbox, and Earthfall said to be akin to the great Left 4 Dead series. Personally, I'm excited for a game similar to Left 4 Dead, but we all know expectations don't always meet our standards. If you have had any demo experience at E3 or anything that would lead me to believe either one of these would be worth it for my fall game, let me know. Gracias, and have a bueno day." Saying that Nick Scarpino way of saying gracias. Mm-hmm. Obviously I played a lot of No Man's Sky when it first launched on PlayStation 4. I came back, I think, once for one of the updates, and I was like, man, this game's completely different now. And then, for Earthfall, Left 4 Dead, yeah, I played that at GDC at the Xbox, event, and the developers came over, they're kind of funny fans, they were like, oh my gosh, thanks so much for coming out, play our game, it's Left 4 Dead. I sat down and played it, I was like, this is like Left 4 Dead, but it's aliens instead of zombies, and I was like, I'm all in. Earthfall, I am super jazzed for. I thought it's an indie team, so it's not like it's as maybe polished or as fleshed out, and that's me off of one demo of it, as what you'd expect from Valve. But in terms of what I always loved about Left 4 Dead, which was, hey, it's three other people, and they're your friends, and here's just shotguns and machine guns, and we don't have to worry about classes, and you don't have to worry about support structures, you don't have to worry about all working as a team in terms of, I can't do something unless Tim does something, run around and shoot shit. I was like, this is going to be a great party mode. Awesome. And I bet it'll be a great game for us to stream once in a while. Probably me, Andy, and Kevin, maybe Joey. The Fortnite crew, as we call. I'm totally interested. That releases at the end of this week? Is it this week? I got the thing right here. I can check. You don't have to. You're wrong me. And then No Man's Sky, right? I liked what I initially had. So the fact it's July 13th, so a couple days. I like what initially launched with No Man's Sky. So the fact that they've just gone back and added more stuff with it, I think you'd totally be happy with that game as well if you've read the reviews and now seen the updates.
And you're aware of what the game is.
I think that expectations now are so low for that game that I expect, as I've said, I expect that to launch on Xbox and people be like, holy shit, what was everybody bitching about? This is great. We'll see. And then, final question of the day comes from Why Not Pete. Why Not Pete writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, happy Monday! It seems like post E3 summer is sort of a dead zone for both video game news and releases. Is there a reason for this? Will we ever start seeing a stacked release month the way that March has been the last few years? Just in July or August? Why it's a dead zone for news is the fact that, yes, E3 just happened.
Everyone just blew their load, and it's like, all right, everyone needs to recoup for a bit. And then there's Comic-Con that kind of gets some stuff, maybe, maybe not.
Gamescom is on the horizon, too.
Like Paris Games Week getting into it, and you got all that stuff. Yeah. It's just, there's the major beats of the year that everybody needs to hit, and I feel like July is kind of the industry's break.
Agreed. I think in terms of news, in terms of games, it just depends what you want and what you don't want. Like, I feel, you know what I mean? In E3, I guess it's not like the spring half of the year or fall year where it's like there's a AAA game coming out usually every week or 2 weeks. But like fucking Octopath's this week.
We got Octopath, we got Captain Toad, and I know it's support, but still, like there's a lot of fun games coming out. But it's not like this like huge thing. Although Octopath is a big deal.
But you are right that the summer usually traditionally is slow. I always thought of NCAA in July was usually the kickoff of like something starting to happen. Then when Madden hit in August, that was like, all right, now we're really rolling. And like you've seen September ramp up to where it is like, like this
Spider-Man.
Year. Spider-Man, but I mean, before then, right, it was Metal Gear. Like there's always something happening that really kicks it off.
Something you did miss last week that was really interesting was GameStop released a bunch of like stats and just kind of fun facts about post E3 pre-orders and just like trends that they're seeing. And one of the things they mentioned is that it's going to take a couple years for games and devs and publishers to catch up to this, but they expect July and August to eventually, within 5 years, catch up to the point that January to March has, where we will see a year-round game cycle. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's smart. I think there's such a science to it of how do I put my game out around E3 and not have it get lost in E3? Because it is that, you know, all the sites are still putting up think pieces and top 10 lists and here's all the amazing things Cyberpunk. You saw. Yeah, but it's how do you release a game around that and still have it? But you saw Last of Us release, you know, the week of E3 its year on PlayStation 3, and that didn't hurt it. It still got out to the consumer. And there is a science to that of like, yep, everybody's excited at home watching E3 for the next year of content, but it's so rare that something drops during those times. Like,
Arkham Knight.
Right. Once you turn off the E3 coverage, you're usually, man, I really want to play some video games. What if there is an amazing game that came out then, or it is 2 weeks away? We will continue to see how this industry evolves, everybody. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, platform, username, why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you. Today, Nick Gordon needs help in life. He wants you to go to his Facebook.com/Cyan, S-A-I-Y-A-N, 1990. Nick says, honestly, guys, this is the first time I've reached out, and I could really use some help, some best mate help. On Friday, my wife told me she wanted a divorce. She left, and I've been a mess ever since. I was wondering if there's any best friends that live in Brisbane, Australia, that would be interested in adding me on Facebook, just so I can meet some new people, and maybe we can all go out and get absolutely pissed together. That means drink. That means get drunk, by the way, if you're not Australian. They're not going to go out and get angry. And get absolutely pissed together, then play some video games. I don't think I've ever heard you read out a life help squad up before, and that maybe there is a good reason, so I understand if you can't. No, Nick, I'm fine with it. Nick says, thank you for all the work that you do. It means more to me than you could ever comprehend. Thanks, Nick. If you live in Brisbane, Australia, and you want to get pissed with Nick Gordon, go to Facebook.com/Cyan. Am I saying it right? S-A, because it's like more Cyan, Saiyan. Right? Cyan. Saiyan?
Yeah. Saiyan. Super Saiyan.
Well, that doesn't help me. S-A-I-Y-A-N 1990. Good luck, man. Nick. We got you.
Good luck, Nick. And like, be cool, Nick. Let's go help out the homie.
Well, nobody's going to be mean to him.
No, I know, but I'm like... Be extra nice.
Tim?
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What did we get wrong today?
Kebab says Warframe came out on PS4 on November 15th, 2015, 8 months after the PC released that March. Lord of Pwn has the very important information. The average lifespan of a duck is 5 to 10 years.
Thank you.
Ignacio Rojas says Donkey Kong doesn't have a tail. Kebab says the Pink Mercy charity skin was sold between May 8th and 21st.
There's a way, yeah, you're talking about the Super Nintendo World thing. I was thinking of Diddy Kong. Diddy Kong has a tail, and that's what you could call the corn dogs. Diddy Kong tails. Or it could just be you could think of Donkey Kong taking a long poop.
You could think about that.
Could be his tail.
You definitely could.
What's the story with Diddy Kong? What's his relationship to Donkey Kong? They're not sons. It's not father and son, right?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny you say that because I remember reading was it a Game Grumps video of them? They were going through like, what is the relationship?
Because like, yeah, they're
are
different.
They lovers? Are they?
They're different species of monkey, right?
Yeah.
Because Donkey Kong is a gorilla. Right? He's a gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Diddy Kong some kind of...
Chimp?
Yeah. No, well, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
And then there's Dixie.
I don't know. Cranky and Funky, we're getting too deep into it. Yeah, I can't help you that. Right now, I'm just concerned about their relationship.
I don't know. Okay. Let us know, somebody. Bandpass says, important correction about Halo. No one likes Locke. No one.
Good Jesus. Superman symbol today, guys.
Kebab says Diddy Kong is Donkey Kong's best friend. They have no familial relations that we know of. Lord of Pwn says Diddy Kong is Donkey Kong's best friend and is described as his, quote, nephew wannabe.
See, I don't like your best friend being that much younger than you. You know what I mean?
Maybe they're not.
They just described him as his best friend.
No, but maybe he's not younger.
Like, he's very clearly younger. He's got a hat on. Donkey Kong's got a tie on. All right.
Cool Greg's not having it.
Which part? Cool
Greg? The hat.
Hat's not a sign of immaturity.
But I'm saying, like, he also has that little vest on, right? Doesn't he?
I mean, it's
we should
shirt.
Do a thing. We gotta do a podcast. We got to do a podcast where it's draw things from memory. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm going to draw you my Diddy Kong right now. The show's over, everybody. You know, yeah, yada, yada, yada.
That was it.
I'm going to, hold on. I'm going to draw what I vaguely remember. Do we have Sky Cam?
Yeah, give me a second.
All right, here. So anyways, remember, like, subscribe, share, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you didn't know, Kind of Funny Games Daily, news source every now and then. Now I'm going to just draw this thing. Tim's going to talk while I do it.
So there's a lot of information coming in here, Greg. We got, so Shadow Fork says, Cranky Kong is the Donkey Kong from the original arcade game. Donkey Kong. Yeah. Like, you know, that. Cranky in the beginning of Donkey Kong Country, and he's playing the do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
So wait, no.
And then Donkey comes in, and he's like...
Oh, no, okay. So Donkey Kong is still Donkey Kong. I thought you were trying to say that the Donkey Kong in Donkey Kong was Cranky Kong. Like, that's an old version.
Cranky Kong.
Yeah. Stole the princess and put her up at the top, and Mario came to fuck with him.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's Donkey Kong, then?
Donkey Kong is... Cranky is... called Diddy's great grandpappy in Donkey Kong Country 2, which makes Diddy his great grandson. So what does that mean about Donkey Kong? And then there's Donkey Kong Jr. That must have been Donkey Kong original, Cranky Kong's son. Right? That makes sense, right?
I'm sorry, I'm getting
I think
lost
that's how it works. And then here. Dixie is Diddy's girlfriend. But Donkey Kong Country 2, people think that it's Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy Kong's quest, but it's actually Diddy Conquest. I think I fucked that up. But there's some weird shit with the name, for sure. And then there was also the Donkey Kong CG cartoon show that was very bad that played on ABC Family. How's the drawing going?
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't nail the face the way I wanted. Uh-huh. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there, everybody.
Donkey Kong, the Donkey Kong Country Donkey Kong is actually Donkey Kong the Third. So, okay, that makes sense then, I guess, kind of. Because we would have Cranky Kong at the top, who's also the OG Donkey Kong. He had a son, Donkey Kong Jr. Donkey Kong Jr. had a son, Donkey Kong from Donkey Kong Country. But then if Diddy calls him great grandpappy, that would mean that Diddy is Donkey's son.
Now, it's important, I mean, as we all learn from Planet of the Apes, that like they just toss it around pretty freely on like what they all do.
Why does he kind of look like Stone Cold Steve Austin?
I mean, it's drawn from memory, right?
But wait, does Diddy have a vest? Doesn't he just have like a crop top?
Is what I imagine Diddy Kong to look like. I know he's got a cap on. He's got the hairy face, like the ape like mouth area. And then I thought he was in a vest. And I know there's a DK written on him somewhere. Is that not?
Yeah, he has like a crop top. Huh.
Yeah, I'm not as close to it as what I thought it was. What I thought Diddy Kong looks like.
Ladies and gentlemen.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Remember, that's where you can send your questions, comments, concerns, and more. Then you can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Or listen on podcast services around the globe, no matter where you get it. Thanks for getting it and making this show so dang popular. We love making it for you. If you think we did a good job today, go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. There, you can support us at a whole bunch of different levels and get different things. Eventually, we are giving away as fan mail. You know what?
How do I get the Slack to go to control?
You go. Hold on. So you click on the Kind of Funny face. You're just in the. You're just there with my wife, and we have a Slack channel for our house. So there you go.
Cool, Greg. I'm gonna need you to pull up this image. Right now.
Hold on. We're gonna show you the lineage here, I think, of the Kongs, and then we'll go from there.
Kebab sent in this.
Thank you, Kebab. Here we go. Tree. So then show everybody this cool guy. Jesus.
Oh, man.
So the unused ones is kind of cut off.
Yeah, it's fine. Unused okay. Kongs aren't okay. There. No big deal. So let me get this straight then. Cranky Kong marries Wrinkly Kong. Then they have kids, Donkey Kong Jr. and Junior 2.
What?
then Donkey Kong Jr. has a kid who is Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
He has a little buddy, supposed nephew, Diddy Kong. Diddy Kong is a couple with Dixie Kong,
mm-hmm.
whose sister's to Tiny Kong, who's... Oh, these are all cousins over here now. Kitty Kong and Chunky Kong.
Yeah.
Now, Donkey Kong has a past self known as Baby Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong has a friend named Funky Kong, and he is a rumored couple with Candy Kong. Oh my God!
His little buddy is Diddy. Like that's little buddy.
Like I mean, look at Cool Greg. You can see this image. Look at Diddy Kong and tell me that's a full grown adult. That is not. That's clearly a fucking child. And you got this pedophile Donkey Kong hanging out with him.
But he, now I'll tell he's you, a teenager.
To be clear, rocked to my core right now that Donkey Kong is not Donkey Kong from Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
That Donkey Kong is, in fact, the grandson of Cranky Kong, who was the Kong in Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And Mario, meanwhile, he's got a picture of Dorian Gray up in his house, never aging a fucking day, hanging out with all these people. You know, look at Cranky Kong. Cranky Kong and Mario were contemporaries. And now Cranky Kong is an old ass bitch ready to lay down and die with the ducks that have been old for 10. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Jesus.